Well, hey friends, it's me, Lacey, and today I have a real honor of talking with my friend Mimi, who I've met several times in person. Well, at least once in person. It feels like several times. I guess we only met one time, really, but I feel like I know her now because I do kind of follow along with her journey on social media and whatnot. But she is just a wealth of information when it comes to herbal wisdom, which I'm always seeking more of. And today she's going to tell us a little bit about this really exciting thing that when I saw her post, I was like, what? This is crazy. And it also is beautiful. She developed and wrote a beautiful, beautiful book. So we'll learn more about that as we chat with her today. But Mimi, before we get started, I really like to start at the very beginning with folks so that they can get to know you and sort of where you came from and how you landed where you are now.
Welcome to the Schoolhouse Life and our I Bought a Homestead Now What podcast.
I'm Lacey.
And I'm Drew.
Homestead health and business strategist. And between us, we have nearly 40 years experience in homesteading, parenting, and holistic living. We love helping people live more sufficient, deeply rooted, and satisfyingly connected lives.
2 to 3 times per month, we post a new podcast on Wednesdays that will inspire, ease, and answer questions about this lifestyle you may not even know to ask.
People and homestead strategy clients ask us all the time how, why, and what to do to make their homestead less chaotic, more efficient, and mostly more peaceful. The lessons we've learned, the training we've had, and our strategic approach will help you skip steps and find more ease in your homesteading journey.
Did you hear something you like? Did you learn something new? Please share with a friend or on social. Tag us at The Schoolhouse Life, and we will be thrilled to share and connect. Your shares, encouragement, and even questions are what keep us going. Thank you.
Well, thanks for having me, first of all. I'm really happy to be here. And so let's see how far back do we go. I, do have, like all of us, we all have herbal ancestors. Every one of us has a legacy of herbalism somewhere deep within us. In terms of ancestry is very much rooted in Latin American folk herbalism. Both my grandmothers, one is, my family's Colombian on my maternal side and then Mexican on my paternal side. And both of my grandmothers taught me a lot about herbs. My grandmother in Mexico specifically, lived in Mexico City, and I spent a lot of time there growing up and just kind of followed her around. And she told me lots of stories. Well, she worked with herbs a lot and was like a stopping place for the neighbors whenever children were sick or the moms and they would stop by and ask my grandma for remedies. And she always, so I got to watch a lot of that where neighbors would just come over and she would just pull up a chair, make a batch of hot cocoa and just sit down and have a little chat. That's what is real important in Latin American folk herbalism. It always starts with this, like, it's called la plática, which is the little chit chat. Let's just sit and connect. Tell me your story. What's going on? Let's have some warm tea or chocolate. I got to watch her just kind of give advice and go out to her courtyard garden and pick herbs and set herbs on her altar. And, I even got to see her do some like healings hands-on. And, I didn't really realize what I was observing at the time. I just kind of was her little shadow. And it wasn't until I was a grown up that I was like, whoa, I really saw all that. I really like watched her work with herbs. And yeah, so my Colombian grandmother also, she passed away when I was young, but I still remember the way she smelled. I just remember her scent, because she always smelled. I didn't know what the scent was until I was older. And I realized it was helichrysum. And helichrysum is, she had this like shiny face cream that looked like pearls and it just had this interesting, aroma to it. And so her face always had this like pearlescent complexion. And now I know her face cream was powdered mother of pearl with helichrysum flowers. And, and come to find out, these are both like ingredients used in like cosmetics and skin health. And so, but you know, it wasn't until I was a grown up till I realized what that was, because every time I smell helichrysum, I'm just transported to my Colombian grandmother, Carlina. So me, yeah.
The smell of Yardley. So that's the smell of my grandmother. yes. Was she making that herself, or was that she was buying that?
She was making it. Uh-huh. And so, yeah, I grew up really sciencey. I did grow up in America, and I you know, was just like really active in like science fairs and just like biology and science projects and all that stuff. So I was really academically inclined, and I really just had a fascination with how the body works. I always thought I was going to be a doctor one day. And you know, when I was finished with college, I did, you know, apply to med school. I was about to start, and I was like, you know what? There's other options. I really wanted to learn about herbs. And when I made that choice, I just was obsessed with learning everything I could about herbs. And I think it came out of like this mutual love for the body and for the outdoors, like ecology and hiking and botany and that, like, I wanted to merge the two, like my two passions. And so, you know, a lot of people come into herbalism because they are like fanatic plant lovers. And I think I came into it because I was a fanatic lover of like the body and biology in general, and yeah. Cell biology like fascinates me. It's like a whole different universe in there. And so it was just a way to merge my passions. And little did I know that there's not really like, you know, back then there wasn't really like, oh, well, go become an herbal doctor, because that just doesn't exist. And so it's like, oh, shoot, how am I going to, I'm going to have to put this together myself somehow. And I just started like apprenticing with like herbal nurses. And, you know, I started reading everything I could get my hands on. And I found Dr. James Duke, who became my mentor, and he wrote a book called The Green Pharmacy. And it's just really interesting, because one of the reasons that he appealed to me is because he wrote a lot of books and articles about his studies with healers in the Colombian Amazon forest, which is where my family is from. And in a way, it's like I was able to reconnect with my lineage through kind of following this scientist who's doing all this exciting work and relationship building there. And so, I just, one thing led to another, and I really just kind of took a deep dive into clinical herbalism. You know, I did spend a lot of time with Enchanted with ethnobotany, the study of, you know, cultures and their interface with plants. And I did a few years as coordinator of the Appalachian Center for Ethnobotanical Studies, where I really, you know, promoted the heritage of Appalachian native plants and the appreciation of them and non-timber forest products and just the ways we can work with Appalachian native plants. And from there, you know, became registered herbalist because I was working and teaching clinically. I was the executive director of the American Herbalist Guild for 11 years. I just stepped down about a couple months ago.
I was going to say, I thought you still were, but okay. I'm that newsflash.
It's a newsflash. It's big news, and it's a huge thing in my life. You know, to feel like I've accomplished a tenure, and, you know, it's a really robust organization, but to me, it belongs to the herbalists of America. It belongs to community. And I felt like it was time to hand it back and see where it goes next. So really excited. Well,
you have such amazing things happening. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, it's, sometimes it's, yeah, it's time to just move on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. And I will say, like, you sound really intimidating with all of these things you put out there, but I have to tell everyone. So when I first met you, I was at the herbal conference in North Carolina. What is the name of the organization? Herbal Society?
Yep. Oh, the North Carolina Herb Society.
Herb Society, yeah. So they have a weekend every year.
Herb Association, yeah, right, right.
Herb Association.
Wild Herb Weekend, was that?
Yes, yeah. And you were the keynote speaker. But when I got there, you and I and a couple other women ended up just talking kind of in a main room. And I didn't know who you are. And actually, afterwards, I was glad I didn't, because I probably would have been like, oh, I can't talk here. Yeah. I'm very much coming at it from, I'm just obsessed with plants. So like, I know what I know, but it really has not come from like the education side. It's come from the hands-on side. So, anyways, I got to talk to you a little bit there. And then I was took most of your classes that day, because they happened to be on the topics that I was really interested in. And then you were also the keynote speaker. So that's where I heard you. And so I think that like, just everything that you shared just now makes it sound like you're somebody that would be like, everything would go over your head and it'd just be too much. But the way you present information is just really beautiful and easy to grasp, and but also very intellectual. It's like both at the same time in a really beautiful way. So you feel like you're really learning something, and that you bring just enough of the sort of the science to the table where anyone feels like they can read it and take it away. I know I have a few herbals that are like, when I read them, I'm like, okay, I'm going to have to get out the dictionary and try to understand what's happening here. But yours is really approachable, and you're approachable in general. So I appreciate that very much. But I think a lot of times when people start getting involved in the herbalism, they start to lose confidence because they'll find resources that either make you a little bit intimidated, or they listen to people who make it sound like you have to have all of this education that you do have in order to make the most of it. And I really feel like you didn't have that energy and didn't bring that to the table at all. And your book kind of confirmed that when I was reading it. So, so anyway, I appreciate that. And I'm wondering, how did the book writing come to pass? Cause it's a National Geographic book, which feels like this person is the best of the best, and National Geographic knows it. And they said, hey, you come write this book for us. How does that work?
Well, you know, ironically, you know, you were talking about like how I teach, and that's really how it started, because I was teaching a series of workshops at a medical school on the West Coast. And the classes I was teaching was like, you know, I taught a class on rue and rose and some of the sacred plants of Latin American herbalism. But then I also taught a class on like medicinal herb constituents and the science of phytochemistry. And, you know, there was a lady there who sat in my classes, and I guess she really enjoyed my presentations. And one of her besties happens to be a senior editor at National Geographic. And so she dropped my name. And then this senior editor, Susan Hitchcock, reached out to me one day. And yeah, I about dropped my tea, because like, I was like, immediately started texting my family. I was like, National Geographic is reaching out to me. And yeah, they wanted to collaborate on a possible book or a project. And that really just led to a series of conversations with Susan. And we have such a beautiful synergy together. You know, we really brainstormed and we settled on an herbal. And the herbal is based on a class I used to teach, a community herbalism class I used to teach, which was an 8-part class. And it really just started from like this micro level of like your own personal sensory experience with herbs, because I think it has to start there. It's like, how do these herbs smell and how they feel and what colors are they and how do they taste? And, you know, these different sensory experiences. And from there, we kind of just step out to the kitchen, which is the home of herbalism. Like, I'm a huge kitchen herbalist. A little bit about apothecary and medicine making, because that's like the next level of kitchen herbalism. And then we like actually step outside and do garden herbalism. And that leads to understanding weedy herbalism. Then we kind of take off into the woods and explore like plant habitat and medicinal herbs. And then we pan out even more, and we're like discussing elements of community herbalism and herbs in community in general. And that just naturally leads into this like global perspective of like herbs and commerce, you know, the ethics, the traditions, the people involved in the herbs that we, you know, see commonly in the marketplace. And so it was like this, like starting from the very personal and then just ending up on a global scale. And so it was like kind of a natural journey in my eyes. And that's what we went with.
Yeah, no, and I love it. And I think one of the things that at every page, so it's not too much information about any one herb, which I loved. And you also kind of have a bullet point of, okay, and here's what one little takeaway to take. Like, you don't have to absorb everything on this page or in this section. You can just take this little box. I mean, that I felt like was just brilliant, because I think it just makes it, it makes it so much more accessible for people to have one little takeaway that, oh, this is the thing that I can make with this particular herb and it's useful to me.
Right. It's 100 herbs. Every chapter has, you know, 10 or 11 herbs, depends on what chapter. And yeah, it's like a write-up. I really like try to talk about this, where the herb comes from, some of the traditional aspects of the herb, in many cases, how it's used clinically. And every herb has a sidebar, just a short little quip about some kind of interesting, you know, this herb is, you know, maybe a recipe or some fun little tradition or little quip. But yeah, and then there's these interchapters, because I really wanted to be sure to relay a sense of a variety of traditions that are relevant to the world of herbalism. So we take these little breaks and we dive into, like, you know, Ayurveda or wise women herbalism or United Plant Savers or, you know, even like, you know, Gola Geechee herbalism, because I live in North Carolina and there's a very rich history and tradition here on the Outer Banks, a few hours away on the Outer Banks of North Carolina. I'm more in the mountains. But yeah, I really worked hard in the book to make sure to relay an herbalist experience. I feel like a lot of these reference books, and knowing that National Geographic has a wider audience than just like the herbal community, I thought it was really important to impart that that herbalist exists and this is how we see herbs, not just talking about a herb like it's this generic outsider, you know, thing, and we're just looking at it like a scientist, but, you know, that herbs interact with people, and these herbalists, you know, use these herbs in this way. And even within the herbal lens, you know, there's such a variety of herbalism. So the kitchen herbalist might work with herbs this way, or clinical herbalist might view it this way, and doctors might look at it this way. You know, wildcrafters look at it this way. So I really tried to weave these various herbal perspectives throughout the book. So, you know, any reader can go to the library and pick up the book and just get like this awareness that there's a variety of people that interact with these plants and bring different nuggets of wisdom to the table. So
it made me feel very included, because sometimes I'll be reading something and I'm like, oh, this is, you know, meant for someone who's registered or certified or whatever. Okay. And you know, I'm a pretty firm believer that, you know, I don't think it's that inaccessible that we need somebody to interpret plants for us. But I do appreciate that knowledge and that understanding, that depth of education. But what this book did is, like, you know, even wherever you are right now, this is a part of your history too. And it doesn't have to look like you're a clinician. You can just be a homemaker and you want to make your children feel better. You know, like that, it felt very open and accepting of all of those different things, where I think usually the book comes from one angle, and you might take bits and pieces, but it felt very whole and inclusive for sure. I love that.
Oh, I love that. Thank you.
Putting it into context too, of, I think we're very much in a, like, a global society now. Right. And so understanding a little bit outside of our immediate location and kind of pulling in all of those traditions is what we've done with everything, you know, our diet, our, the way we live, how we interact with people. I just had a phone call with somebody on Australia before I talked to you today. And it was, I was like, this is incredible. How does, you know, we're just so interconnected now. Mm-hmm. And so it made it feel more modern,
right. And you know, there's just so much ethos to connect to here And I think like a lot of people who aren't herbalists don't recognize the tremendous amounts of responsibility that comes with knowing your herbs, where they came from, who they came from, who planted this wisdom, how are we using that wisdom, how are we compensating or working with indigenous growers, farmers, wildcrafters, you know, whose knowledge is this and how are we honoring that? How are we treating native and indigenous plants of our regions? You know, just everything from like over harvesting to, you know, just like proprietary information, like, you know, context of like traditional wisdom. And so a lot of these things I think are important and, you know, need to be said somewhere, you know, and to the general public. And so I thought this was a good platform to do that.
Yeah, you did magnificently. There's also the magazine, which I found before the book, so I have both, but it's also great and it's a little bit more condensed. And it's not quite the same format as the book, is it? I'm trying to remember.
It's not. I mean, I would say like the magazine is a lot of similar information, but more titrated. It's just more, it's like formatted and rearranged in a different way. Like the magazine, for example, has like a whole section on herbal teas and, you know, the importance of like drinking your beautiful herbal remedies. And so there's like a different, you know, it draws from similar information. Of course, I wrote both of them. So they're both like kind of mirrors of each other in a way. But the magazine is just a little enticement, and you can find that magazine, the National Geographic Herbal Magazine. It's only out for limited time. So I think, you know, maybe to the end of March or at least sometime this spring, but it's in like all the grocery stores.
I found it in my food line. I was so excited.
I know.
It was crazy.
I know. It is crazy. I was like, what? It's like, because I didn't know, like, really the date of publication. Like I'm like so busy. and I was like at the grocery store and it was there. I just couldn't believe it. And so then I started taking all these selfies with it. And the checkout ladies are just looking at me like, what is going on? I'm like, I wrote this, you know, and I'm just kind of in the middle of nowhere and in like the foothills of North Carolina. So I thought, hey, here's my magazine.
You're a big deal. Big fish, little pond. okay, well, so if you wouldn't mind sharing, maybe just pulling a few, whatever calls to you right now, herbs out to kind of highlight for our listeners before you go. I don't know if there's anything that you've worked with today or that you've been thinking about, but we'd love to hear what's on your herbal mind.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned anything I work with today, but my tongue is still tingling from this echinacea tincture that I just took. And I was just like, I've had a lot of work today, a lot of meetings, and I started getting like a little feeling that rundown feeling a little bit. I was like, I need something before my next meeting. And I went and just took a few a couple dropperfuls of this echinacea tincture. And my tongue is still zinging. And and I don't know, but I feel a lot better. I feel like, ooh, that helped, you know, like nice. Grabbed me up a little bit. But the echinacea has these like tingly alkamides is what they're called. And they're just really invigorating and they invigorate the immune system. And you know, another plant that's maybe a little lesser, well, a lot lesser known than echinacea is spilanthes. And you'll find the spilanthes in my garden herbalism chapter. And spilanthes is like, they're called electric daisies. Or buzz buttons, and they're like these little tiny daisy flowers.
We have it, but we call it toothache plant is what. Right. Someone told me so.
Yes, and you can like grow them in a pot or in a garden, and they're actually you know, all the plants that have alkamides in them. There's not that many. Like prickly ash. There's this plant called Dentaria that grows in the mountains here. They all have that nickname toothache plant, like all of them.
Oh, interesting.
Alkamide-containing plants are so good for your gums and your dental issues. very anti-inflammatory. But these electric daisies, I just love that. I love buzz buttons. I just love that. They actually are native to Brazil. So in Brazil, they actually make like liqueur from them, and they make like soups out of them, which is like a real big, like traditional dish.
And it maintains, you know, that fuzzy feeling. Like when you cook
it, little buzzy feeling.
Oh my goodness.
Well, it's more gentle when it's cooked. I would imagine. I haven't tried the soup. That's definitely on my bucket list. But yeah, they like use it. There's a lot of research about like these, about Phyllanthes in like skincare products, you know, for like healthy skin and, you know, graceful aging and stuff like that. So I'm going to explore that. Yeah, no, Spilanthes, it's real easy to start from seed. And it's just like similar to echinacea, like you would go and, you know, either like if you got a bee sting or something like really urgently inflammatory, echinacea is the plant for that. You know, you would like rub it on or chew on it or you know, another one that people don't realize, you know, yarrow is such a famous plant with herbalists and so abundant. And most people use yarrow leaves, yarrow flowers, but the yarrow root has these alkamides in it. So next time you're like playing with yarrow in the field, dig it all the way up and taste that root. It's just like echinacea. And you can make a tincture of that root and use it in similar ways to echinacea. So yeah, that's what I'm kind of a buzz with these alchemides right now.
I love it. Okay. Well, so this is a lovely place to stop because I want to encourage everyone to follow along with your journey. You can follow Mimi on all her, on her Instagram or on Facebook, and she has a great website as well. And you can order her book from the website. You can go to, I got mine at Barnes and Noble. So if you go into Barnes and Noble, be sure, and if you don't see it on the shelf, be sure to ask the person at the desk because it was at mine. It just was not on the shelf. So I don't know what was up with that. But yeah, so it's available where in most retailers. And Mimi, we'll put a link to all of your website and everything in our show notes and everything. But before we go, I would love for you to share one thing that you do for yourself. You already kind of did, but one thing maybe you have as a habit that you do for yourself to just feel your best.
Yeah, I'm a huge, like, I take a lot of baths. That's my thing. And I do a lot of like really into sacred baths. So there's a lot of herbs in my book that talk about these sacred uses of plants in bathing, like rue and like lemongrass and some of these plants that just kind of help you wash away all that stagnant energy or wash away a bad day or wash away someone else's energy, you know, that just feels sticky on you, and just like refresh your whole spirit. Roses, I love roses in the bath, rose petals. There's nothing more luxurious than some rose petals in the bath, some fresh rose petals, so wonderful. So yeah, that's I do a lot with herbal bathing here myself, but also just cooking. I just love being in the kitchen and being creative. It's like something just takes over me. And if I have time, I can just be that herb wife that I always wanted to be and just like be in the kitchen and be super, you know, fun and creative with things.
Yeah, I love that. That's beautiful. Well, everyone, be in touch with Mimi, follow her journey, watch for these amazing concoctions she makes in her kitchen and be inspired to tap into the herbals that you have probably on hand because like me, probably most of you have been gathering and you're just maybe not quite sure what to do. Mimi will give you the confidence to do that. So thank you so much, Mimi, for being on with me and congratulations. I'm so excited about your book.
Thank you. Thanks, Lacey. And thanks for having me here. This was so fun.
It was fun.